Amen. You hear me? So I'm always quite strategic when I put this mic on because I'm always too scared. If I put it on during worship and there's a sound issue, everybody's going to hear my voice. So, and that won't be good. Thank you. So welcome. We are in week two in a four-part series, and we're doing a series entitled Habits. And it's Healthy Habits for Spiritual Formation. And as I was thinking about this series, I was thinking about a new year. And often in a new year, the mantra of our kind of lives is like, new year, new me. You know, what are the old habits I can break? What are new habits I can form? And we are wanting to say that our hearts and minds, which are full of this kind of desire and expectation for something to change, should be one which is pointed towards God, because pointed towards godly habits, and asking our Father, what would you want to change in my life this year? I think so often our kind of New Year's resolutions are formed around diets and kind of workout plans, like the goal to be built like Ollie, or get your summer body ready for many of the students here. But as important as a healthy lifestyle is, in fact, far more important is asking the question, God, what are the habits you would want to cultivate in me this year? Maybe it's patience. You know, end of 2025, you're more patient than you were before. What a wonderful thing would that be. So I want us to, as we look at this series, our prayer is really that the series would pour kind of fresh fire on those desires and lead and guide us towards healthy habits towards spiritual formation. Things, as Gareth said last week, are not things that kind of God, things that are put upon us to do, like this kind of burden that we have to do, but they're actually gifts to us. They're gifts by God to us. And we're praying that God would show us through the series what the way that intentional God-honoring habits form us spiritually, and the kind of the beauty and the wonder of actually living in the ways of Jesus, living how Jesus and God has called us to live. So this morning, building on the habits from last week, the word, worship, and confession, this week we're going to be looking at stewardship, guidance, and accountability. Stewardship, guidance, and accountability. And I want to just start by saying that the truth actually is that none of these habits happen in isolation. They're not like independent things. In fact, they are integrated to one another. And the truth is that even this morning, as I came to preach this thing that God's gifted me to steward, I had to lean heavily on the Word of God. I had to lean heavily on worship and on confession. Moments of saying, Lord, you know, maybe I've slept in too long. You know, maybe I'm confessing to God and saying, Lord, search my heart. Is there anything here that I need to lay down before you? So I want to pray, and then we're going to start in stewardship. Father, I thank you for the gift of your word. We submit ourselves to your word, Father God. Thank you for community, even as we've been even just through the announcements, just seeing through various ways, the way that you are orchestrating and you're weaving a rich community here, Father. I pray that you do that more, King. I pray, King, as we come toward stewardship, I pray that we would come open-handed, saying, Father, we lay our wills before you. We lay everything down. Come and speak to us. Speak to us and give us new hearts, new wills, new desires, and new habits, Father God. Would we live in the fullness of what you've called us to live in? So this morning I want to focus kind of our time on the habit of stewardship. And the reality is that we're actually stewards of everything that God has given us. I'm sure many of you, if you had kind of seen what was coming this week and you saw stewardship, you probably thought they're going to talk about money. You know, like that's kind of normally where our hearts go, or our minds go. Stewardship is about money. It's about something in our hands. And I want to kind of zoom out a little bit in the habit of stewardship and show it that actually stewardship is really about our entire lives. Because God has graciously gifted us with new life and graciously then entrusts us with everything that we have. And then I want to show us how actually the Bible teaches us that as we are called to steward, there are two other gifts and two other habits that God gives us in that journey. And it is the gift and the habit of guidance. That God gives us the habit of guidance as a gift to us and the asset of accountability. Being accountable to one another around us. And we're going to be going through a few different passages, but I want to anchor us in Ephesians 3, verse 1 to 2. And Paul says this. He says, "For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you." And Paul, in a sense, is saying, this is who I am. I'm a steward. I'm a steward of the grace of God that was entrusted to me. And I find this quite significant, even if you just think about the context of the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is Paul writing to a church in Ephesus. And he's basically, the first three chapters focus on Paul saying, this is who you are in Christ. This is your new identity in Christ. And then it's followed by three chapters of saying, okay, well, this is now how you live that identity out in your life. And you see here, Paul, as part of that identity kind of portion, is saying, well, actually, I'm a steward. I'm stewarding the grace that was given to me. This was part of Paul's worldview. He knew that he wasn't the owner of his life. He knew that he was the steward of his life. His life was not his own. In fact, it was a gift entrusted to him by God. But this isn't the message of the world around us. In fact, the message of the world around us is the exact opposite. Society tells us that your life is your own. I was reminded even of that famous Nelson Mandela quote, that you create your own destiny. I'm the master of my own destiny. The world tells us nobody can tell you how to live. It's yours. I was reminded of a song by Frank Sinatra. Not that that's my kind of music. And it might ruin it for you. But the song, "I Did It My Way." You know, that's the mantra of the world. I do it my way. The end of my life. I did it my way. That's kind of what he's saying. But that's not the message of the Bible. That's not the message that Paul is portraying for us here. If Paul was standing here before us on a new year, he wouldn't say, go and do it your way. You know, do it your way. That's the mantra of your lifestyle. He would say, no, your life is not your own. Do it your Father's way. Your life is a gracious gift given to you by the Father. Steward it in a way that honors Him and honors His people. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Paul says this, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." And the context of this passage, Paul is actually addressing sexual immorality. But the truth that Paul is portraying here is true in saying that all of our lives, in fact, are a gift from God, that our life is not our own, that our life was graciously gifted to us by God through the price of His Son. So we as believers shouldn't sing like Frank Sinatra, "I did it my way." The mantra of our lives is that we want to do it our Father's way. We want to submit to His will. We're stewards of the life that He has so graciously given us. Our worldview should be that we are stewards, not owners. John Wesley says, "When the possessor of heaven and earth brought you into being and placed you in this world, He placed you here not as a proprietor, but as a steward." So what is Paul teaching us here through this passage in Ephesians? He's saying, your life is a gift. His life was a gift, and he had something that God had given him to entrust, to steward, to work with. And Paul is saying the same to us, that our lives are a gift. That we need to steward everything that we have, the talents, the bodies, the finances that we have. We need to steward it for His glory and for our good. So I want to look at three kind of key aspects of the truth of stewardship. Firstly, stewardship, a gracious gift. Just unpack this a little bit more for us. Secondly, stewardship, a steward of what? So you say, okay, I can see there's, you know, the Bible is teaching me that I'm a steward, but what am I called to steward? And then thirdly, stewardship, how? How do we, this is a habit we call to cultivate. How do we cultivate the habit of stewardship? So firstly, stewardship, a gracious gift. Ephesians 3, 1 to 2. For this reason, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. He goes on to explain, you know, you can ask this question, given to him by who? He goes on in verse 7 to 8. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the power, by the working of his power. To me, Paul says, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul had a deep conviction that the things that were entrusted to him wasn't earned by him. They were gifts given, graciously gifted to him by the Father. And I think there is a temptation inside of us, and there's a temptation inside of me to think that, I mean, it's Paul, you know, like Paul the Apostle, you know, he wrote like half the New Testament. Surely God's going to entrust him with things. You know, surely God's going to let him steward some of the gospel, some of the graces that he has. But the truth is that that's not where Paul started. Paul describes himself, even in this passage, he says that he was the very least of all the saints. The worst of sinners. And I think, just to encourage you, you may be here this morning and you're thinking, okay, stewardship, God's going to give me something to steward, but you don't know, you know, where I'm from. You don't know the sins that I've done. You don't know my life. You don't know my history. Why would God gift me anything to steward? And Paul, in a sense, says kind of like, that's not the point. I was far worse. Paul led a group of people on a kind of Christian massacre to kill Christians. And yet he says that it is God's grace and through the power and the work of Jesus that he was made worthy to be a steward of the grace of God. 1 Timothy 1:12 to 14. Paul again says this, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Paul says, God has called me a son. He has gifted me with new life. And if a son in the kingdom of God, then a steward of that kingdom. Paul knew that his stewardship began and was sustained by the mercy and the grace of God. Nothing in him made him worthy of it, and nothing in us makes us worthy of it. It is a free gift given by God. So what is the call for this morning? The call is really to embrace it as a gift. Embrace the stewardship. Embrace the new life that God has given you and everything that that entails. Embrace it as a gift. Walk in the habit of stewardship because you're a child of God. You're an heir to the kingdom of the Father. Live as a steward of his kingdom. C.S. Lewis says this, every faculty you have, your power of thinking or moving your limbs from moment to moment is given by God. If you devoted every moment of your life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his already. Everything that God has given us as new believers, new life itself is a gift from God. So firstly, what are we called to steward? We're called to steward the grace of God. The gospel of Jesus. We're called, like Paul, to carry it out into the world around us. Ephesians 3:2 says, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. And Paul is talking specifically about, even in his the stewardship that God had given him was specifically to the Gentiles. Basically, to proclaim to the Gentiles that you are actually, in fact, also included in the people of God. To unpack the riches of God's goodness and the goodness of the gospel. And the truth of the New Testament is that we are like Paul, we're stewards of the gospel, stewards of the grace of God, called as children to carry this into the world around us. And I want to challenge us this morning. Maybe when you thought, you know, kind of preaching on stewardship, this wouldn't have come to mind. But I want to challenge us that this is the foremost thing that God has called us to steward. Steward the gospel. Steward the grace that God has shown to us. How do we steward that to people around us? We see Paul explains why in verse 10 of chapter 3. So that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. It's this astounding truth, which I still don't quite understand in the mind of God, but God shows that the primary way the gospel is carried out into the world is through his people. The primary way the gospel is carried out is through his people. And Paul says, God is going to, through you, through the church, make known his manifold wisdom to the world around you. He's going to hold you up like a billboard as you steward the grace of God in your life. So what are we stewarding? We're stewarding the gospel, the kind of life-changing and world-shaking gospel of God. And the mission of God's church is not, you know, kind of held within a specific building. It is the people of God, each and every one of us, both in our kind of local representations as local churches, but also the bride of Christ all over the world. That's how God is carrying the gospel forward. And I want to challenge you this morning. This isn't just a call on Paul the Apostle, you know, to the Gentiles in the New Testament. It's not just a call on Gareth here as he leads this church. It's not just a call on some of the elders here. It's not just a call on your life group leader even. It's a call on each and every one of us to carry the gospel as a steward of God's grace. And I want to remind us that we are stewards of God's grace, but we're also stewards of God's grace, and we're stewards by grace. That it shouldn't feel like this burden that we've got to carry to take it forward. In fact, it actually would be impossible for us to do it on our own, but God supplies us with the grace to enable us to do it. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. This is Paul speaking again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Again, in Philippians 2:13, Paul says this, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. Not just the ability to act, but actually the very desire to act, the will to act, the will to steward in a way which honors him. I want to take us back to verse 8, where we see that it is through the stewardship of God's grace that God is going to make known to the world his unsearchable riches of Christ. He says, to me, though I am the very least of all saints, this grace was given to the Gentiles. The unsearchable riches of Christ. That God, through Paul and through his stewardship of the ministry that he had for him, he was making known to the Gentile world the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the challenge for us is that we too, God is calling us to make known to the world around us the unsearchable riches of Christ in the way that we steward the gospel. So we're stewards of the grace of God, the gospel, and we're stewards of the gifts of God. We're stewards of the gifts that God has given us. And God's word says that he gifts each of us with various gifts according to his sovereign grace. We see even in this passage, in the Ephesians passage, that gifts were distributed to Paul. Paul was called to lead, Paul was called to write, Paul was called to oversee. We see him exercising that gift even in writing the very book of Ephesians. And we see him exercising that gift as we look in the book of Acts and we see his missionary journeys going out. The truth is that God has gifted each and every single one of us with gifts he's called us to steward. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ, through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. So God has distributed gifts to each and every one of us, but there is a kind of fascinating thing that God is also doing through this very act. And it is, in a sense, God distributes gifts to us in unequal measure. Unequal measure, and yet there's a unified purpose in the distribution of God's gifts. And the fascinating thing is that almost the act of God distributing it in unequal measure has a desired effect. He's got a desired effect for that. And I would argue that the desired effect is for a work of sanctification on our hearts. Gifts given can sanctify us by highlighting kind of lingering pride, maybe, in our hearts. Maybe you're sitting here and you think, Lord, I've got no gifts. Maybe it's undermining the gifts that God has given you. Lord, I've got no gifts. You know, what have you given me? If only you gave me this or that, then I would really steward what you called me to steward. Or maybe it's the opposite. It's like, God, don't you see? I mean, I was at prayer this morning. Like, didn't you see? Actually, I got there before the guy who was preaching. I mean, didn't you see? He was like 5 minutes late. I was there. You know, that kind of put me in, coach. You know, I'm ready to go. Like, can't you see how gifted I am? This is the sanctifying work of the way that God gives us gifts. Either highlighting an inferiority in our hearts. Where's my gift, Lord? Or a superiority. Why aren't you using me? You know? John Bloom says this. He says, that makes this a glorious design. It is sheer genius. It is a two-way channel of blessing if we embrace it. God gifts us, God gifts all of us in such a way that our gifts channel blessings to others by meeting various needs, and they channel blessings of humility to us by exposing our pride and pushing us to receive God's grace to live by God-pleasing faith. Each of us has God-given gifts, sovereignly given to us by God. You didn't get lucky with some kind of genetic mixture between your mom and your dad, or you didn't benefit from some kind of excelled school program. God, in his sovereignty, gifted us the gifts that we have. And we're called to steward those gifts for the good of the people around us and for the glory of our Father. John Bloom again, he says, our real significance comes from God choosing us in Christ, gifting us and deploying us in his kingdom for his purposes. There is more significance there than we can fully comprehend and appreciate. In a basic sense, you're saying there's no higher calling than for you to be you. No higher calling than for you to be you, just to embrace the way that God has made you, the gospel that he's entrusted to you, and the gifts that he's put in your hands. There's no higher calling than for you to be you. If you're a parent in the room, like I am, how is God calling you to steward that for his glory? What has God put in your hands, for children, in your life? How has God called you to steward that? If you're a student, how is God calling you to steward your studentship for his glory? If you're in school, how is God calling you to steward that? Finances, the money that he's put in your hands, how has God called you to steward that for his glory? And for me, just to kind of share some of my own story, I am an architect, and over the last 8 months, I felt like God challenged me around things that he's put in my hands and how he's called me to steward those things. And reminding me some time ago of some things that he dropped in my heart, even in varsity, and saying, this is kind of how I, you know, studying architecture, and God saying, this is kind of how I want you to use this in the future. And holding on to that in a vague sense, but in this past year, just feeling like God saying, no, it's time now to stand up and actually step into this thing that I've called you to do. Steward the heart that I've given you. Felt like God gave me a heart for social justice. What does that look like in your life? Challenging me, what does that look like in your life? The degree that I've gifted you with. You didn't earn your degree in architecture, but what does that look like? How can you steward that for me? The experiences and the people that I've put in your life, how can you steward that for my glory? So we're stewards of the grace of God and we're stewards of the gift of God. And I want to just challenge us to live the life that God has assigned to you. The grace that He's given you and the gifts that He's given you to serve the people around you and to glorify Him. Then stewardship, how? How do we cultivate this habit of stewardship? This habit of stewardship? How do we do this? And the truth is that it's a cultivated habit of the heart. It's a cultivated habit of the heart. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking, you know, if you think about stewardship, what's the first part of your body that comes to mind? It's probably your hands. Probably think, okay, steward, what am I supposed to do? You know, where must I go? Who must I help? But in a sense, the biblical message is that when we think about stewardship, the first part of our bodies we should think about is our heart. Where's your heart? Because stewardship is primarily an attitude of the heart. So how are we supposed to cultivate this habit? And just building on what Gareth was saying last week about seeking God, it's to know and to love your Father. How do you cultivate the habit of stewardship? Know and love your Father. Love the grace that you were called to steward. Love the gospel. Be reminded again of the wonder of the gospel. Start at the heart and trust that, and even pray that God would give us a conviction like we see Paul declaring in Ephesians 3 verse 8. To me, though I'm the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Would God gift us with that conviction? That attitude of the heart. This grace given to us, a free gift entrusted to us for His good purposes. And the truth is that cultivating stewardship and working on this habit is a daily act. Each and every day, giving our yes to Jesus. Freshly, in whatever circumstance it is, it's giving our yes to Jesus. Understand and embrace your gifts. And I want to encourage you to understand your gifts. Ask people around you, maybe in your Life on Life group or a life group or a formation group, in these spaces where we're doing life together with one another. Ask them. So what do you think? How do you think God's made me? What do you think are the gifts that He's given me to steward? I want to leave us with a challenge, even just for this week, is ask someone. Ask someone. What do you think God has given me to steward? What do you think the gifts God has given me? Ephesians 3:2, Paul says, surely you have heard about the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. Surely you have heard. I was really convicted when I first read that. Surely you've heard. And why do you think Paul says that? Because Paul was living out the life and the stewardship that God had given so loudly that in that time, you probably would have had to be living under a rock not to have known what Paul was called to do. It's like, surely you have heard. And I found this deeply humbling. Could I say the same thing? Surely you've heard? Or would some people be shocked? It's like, oh, really? Is that what God's called you to steward? I didn't know. How has God shaped you and how has God called you to steward that shape for His purpose and for His glory? So how do we grow and develop this habit? It's a daily relinquishing of our wills. A daily relinquishing of our wills and choosing our Father's will above our own. It's not living like Frank Sinatra saying, I did it my way. You know, fresh day, I'm going to do it my way again. It's saying, I'm going to do it my Father's way. Each and every day, I'm going to do it my Father's way. And yet I want to encourage us that this habit is full of grace. It's full of grace. God knows we're going to stumble. God's going to put things in our hands, call us to steward, and at times we're going to stumble. And God's response is, says, it's all right, my child, try again. There you go. Give it another go. We fail again. It's fine, my child, try again. That's God's heart towards stewardship. So I want to call us to embrace this habit of stewardship and cultivate in our lives, trying to cultivate this habit. And as we move on to guidance and accountability, I want to kind of urge us that giving our yes to Jesus, the stewardship, the act of stewardship of giving our yes to Jesus each and every day, includes submitting to these other two habits. Submitting to and embracing guidance and accountability. So it's the grace of entitled them, the grace of guidance and the assets of accountability. I bet you've never heard accountability described as an asset. I was reading an article this week, and the writer described how we view accountability kind of like going to the dentist. It's like this incredibly, you never want to do it, but you have to every few years or whatever. You really don't want to go. It's very uncomfortable while you're there. It's just an incredibly uncomfortable experience. And you know when you leave, it's going to cost you a lot. It's like going to the dentist. But I want to argue that accountability is an asset. It's not a liability. It's an asset. I want to encourage us that giving our yes to God as a steward is a community project. It's something that we do shoulder to shoulder with one another. We don't do it in isolation. We do it shoulder to shoulder with one another. Giving our yes to Jesus in stewardship each and every day is giving our yes to His guiding, to His guidance. John 16, 13 to 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. So we're to submit to the grace of the guidance of our Father. Submit to His guiding in our lives. And then we're to submit to the guidance of our fellow brothers and sisters. Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in the abundance of counselors, there is safety. Is that how you view guidance in the church? Safety. A blessing for you. What a gift. What a grace. It's not God just saying to you, okay, you're a steward. You know, get out there. Good luck. You know, don't fail. Make Me proud. That's not what God does. He says, go steward the gifts that I've given you. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to graciously gift you with people around you to guide you. I'm going to guide you, and I'm going to give you people around you to guide you. Not only that, I'm actually going to get people around you that you can be accountable with. You can open your lives to them. What a grace. I want to encourage us to embrace the grace and the gift of these two things. The grace of guidance and the asset of accountability. I want to encourage you to open your lives to one another. Gareth says that accountability, or people can't hold you accountable. You make yourself accountable. You make yourself accountable. Accountability is about opening yourself to people around you. The truth is that if you don't, you hamper the role that God has called accountability to play in your life. You lose the assets of accountability that can be in your life. It's like going to the dentist, to use the analogy again, and you kind of smile, let him see the fronts of your teeth, but you don't open your mouth. You don't let him see like what's really back there. And you hamper the things that the impact that he can have in your life. And I think that's so often how we view accountability. I know I did, especially when I was young, like in school. It's like, okay, I'll do the accountability thing, but I'm going to tell them like 50% of the stuff. So I feel good about myself, but like they don't know what's really going on, you know? Is that just me? Anybody else? Just me. Okay. That's good. Confession. I want to encourage us to make yourself accountable. Open your life fully to those people around you. Because if you're not, you're hampering the gift that God has given you, the role that accountability is supposed to play in your life. And in a basic sense, this call to guidance and accountability is a call to do life with one another. It's to do life together. It's fascinating. The Bible says at times, pray in secret, often says give in secret, but it never says that we should plan in secret. It never says that we should be in isolation. Hebrews 3, 12 to 13. Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. And he has this charge, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He's saying, open your life to people so that they can exhort you, they can speak into your life.